Is Jesus real? According to a National Church Life survey conducted around 4 years ago, which is the most relevant one we have, less than half of Australians believe Jesus was actually a real person who lived. The majority of Australians don't. They either don't know or they don't believe that he's actually real. They think he's mythical. What do you think? Do you think Jesus is real or not? It's a tough one because we don't really have a lot of ability to verify stuff from ancient history. Due to weather and wars, there's usually a lack of what we might call empirical evidence. So there's no CCTV footage, there's no fingerprints. It's actually really hard to find photographic evidence from that period in time. There's not really much empirical evidence. Even someone as famous as Julius Caesar, right? An emperor around 50 years before Jesus, we only have a couple of statues or busts of his head and a very small number, like less than 200 coins that we've dug up in the last 2,000 years that have his name or his Caesar bit on them. So this is for one of the most famous people in ancient history. We have a very small amount of empirical evidence even for him. And what does this evidence tell us about Julius Caesar? Well, it tells us that he was probably some famous guy. Could have been a governor, could have been rich, could have been a mythical figure that the Romans of the day shaped into a man god and they put him on coins. It doesn't tell us anything, does it? This empirical evidence, we have this for one of the most famous people in history, and that's all we've got. So what do we have for people who were what the Romans would call plebs? For everybody else? It's really difficult. How could we ever prove that you existed in 2,000 years' time, what your life was like, if you were real? Well, the answer in terms of how we do history is we prove this from ancient writings. Most of what we know about ancient history, the events, the places and the people from the last few thousand years, we actually know the stuff that we know, the stuff that you take for granted from ancient writings. We've got ancient writings dating back to like around 3,000 years before Jesus was born from the Mesopotamian society. So we have like lists of cattle and lists of kings, lists of what's in the stores. My grandfather, he wasn't around back then, but he used to carry a little diary around in his pocket and he had fat lamb prices written in this little diary. And that's the sort of thing we have from 3,000 years before Jesus. It's not exactly really telling us a whole lot. Like, it's good to know how many lambs a bloke had at a certain period in history, but it's not telling us a whole lot. It's not until 500 years before Jesus, a bloke named Herodotus came along. He's a Roman guy, or Greek guy, and he actually created a new genre of literature, and it's called history. And he's known by academics as the father of history. He's the first guy to write down an orderly series of the events that had happened. And so from Herodotus onwards, we have this literature genre called history, which we take for granted. But that's pretty exciting. That's only 500 years before Jesus. So this is how we prove characters from ancient times are real. This is how we learn about their life. The best evidence to pursue is ancient literature. And it just so happens, I don't know if you know this, but we have 27 separate pieces of ancient literature written by 9 or 10, we're not 100% sure, 9 or 10 different authors about Jesus. And they're written within 80 or 90 years of his time on earth. And that is an unprecedented amount of literature in terms of ancient history. These pieces of literature are so compelling that they've actually led people to put their faith in Jesus. And Christians have gathered these pieces of literature together and put them in a book and called it the New Testament. In terms of people from ancient history, you have to understand, and I was the biggest cynic of the Bible before I became a Christian through my early 20s, this amount of evidence is unparalleled. And I think if you look into it, if you investigate it, you must conclude for certain, along with Luke, that Jesus is real. Well, let's have a look at how he explains it in the opening of his account of Jesus' life. That's what Susan read to us, the opening of Luke's account of Jesus' life. This is Luke's historiography, really. It's him explaining how he does history. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us." By the things that have been fulfilled among us, he's talking about the things that Jesus said and did. Christians, whether or not you believe this is between you and God, Christians believe that Jesus did and said things that were fulfillment, the fulfillment of things that God promised in the Old Testament. So when Luke talks about things fulfilled, he's talking about things Jesus said and did. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." Many. Luke says there are many accounts of Jesus' life around. Many people have tried to do it. And he wrote his account, this document that we're looking at. It was first written sometime between 62 and 100 years after Jesus was born. So Luke's saying, already by that time in history, there were many accounts of Jesus' life written. And we know that to be true. Because you know what? We have three of the other accounts of Jesus' life. We have an account written by a guy named Matthew, an account written by a guy named John, and an account written by somebody else whose name escapes me. Yes, I was just testing if you're still awake after the comment from Kath before. But Luke would have also been familiar with other accounts because there was a bloke named Paul who wrote before Matthew, Mark, Luke and John lots of things about what Jesus said and did. And Luke actually travelled around with Paul on a boat. We know that from another bit of literature. And then Luke would have also known a guy named James, a guy named Jude, a guy named Peter. So he's read these bits of accounts, but academics, not just Christian academics, but secular academics, reckon that there were other accounts about Jesus' life floating around, because if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and the things that Paul's written, there are overlapping statements they make about Jesus' life. So academics think that there were other accounts that have been lost to history. So when Luke says, "Many have undertaken to do a written account of the life of Jesus," he's not exaggerating. But in addition to these writings about Jesus' life that the Christians have put into their Bible, Tacitus, a first century Roman historian, he mentions Jesus in his writings around 100 years after Jesus was born. Josephus, a Jewish historian who was probably loved by the Romans and hated by the Jews, he was a bit of a sellout, he writes about Jesus sometime between 70 and 90 years after Jesus was born. These are actual documents that we've dug up and found and seen evidence of Jesus in. Luke is correct. There are many accounts of the things Jesus said and did. None of these accounts include what's known as oral tradition. Do you know what literacy was like in the first century? It was very low. So what used to happen is rabbis used to go around and they'd have their followers and they would rote learn the things that their rabbis would say. They would rote learn it, not missing a word. We do that today with Instagram reels, don't we? You know, we know off by heart what this means, right? Or when I say, "Don't say that," a lot of us go, "I know what that means. I've rote learnt that from Instagram." This is what it was like for people in the first century. They rote learnt oral tradition and they passed it on to people after them. So we have written things, but there was a whole nother case of evidence in oral tradition that was passed down of the things that Jesus did. So when Luke says we have many accounts of the things Jesus said and did, we can say, yeah, that's legit. Our evidence suggests that's true. Now remember, the reason that I'm saying this is because this is how we know pretty much anything about ancient history. The reason that you know stuff about Julius Caesar, apart from picking it up from Asterix and Obelix like I did at school, the reason that you know stuff is because Julius Caesar was a prolific writer. And we actually have copies of the things that he wrote. The reason we know stuff about Alexander the Great is because we have copies of stuff ancient people wrote about him. Not because we've got empirical evidence, but because we've got these documents that actually fill in the gaps. Julius Caesar, he wrote histories of wars and people wrote about him. Now, he did his stuff, he did his writing sometime between 49 and 43 years before Jesus. the earliest copy of stuff that he did that we have is from 900 CE, 900 years after Jesus was born. That's about 1,000 years after Julius Caesar wrote it. We've dug up or found in a library in Europe a copy of the stuff that he wrote. It's similar, but a bit better with Alexander the Great. He existed in the 4th century before Jesus. The earliest surviving manuscript we have of the histories of Alexander the Great, which was probably written around 100 years after Jesus, so that's 500 years after Alexander, the earliest copies of that we've found are again from 900 years after Jesus. That's 1,400 years after the event, we found a copy that somebody wrote in 900. This is really good history. The stuff you know about Alexander the Great, the Hollywood scripts you've seen with 300 and Sparta and Troy and all that sort of stuff, they come from these documents. Julius Caesar, the stuff you take for granted about him, they come from these documents. This is good, legitimate history, all written within 1,000 or 1,500 years of the events themselves. It's the same with Jesus, right? But it's phenomenally better. We have large chunks of Luke's gospel that date to somewhere between 170 and 300 AD. Up on the screen is a snapshot of papyrus number 4, which has a large section of Luke's gospel in it that dates probably to around 225 AD. The best history we have for Julius Caesar, we're talking 1,000 years. We have so much more manuscript evidence of the life of Jesus than any other character from history. And I love it. This is one of the big things that changed my thinking about the Bible and Jesus. We have large chunks of Bible from very early on, quite substantial portions. We have two almost complete manuscripts of the entire New Testament that date to around 300 AD. That's phenomenal. And they're almost word for word the same as what we have in our Bibles today. Isn't that incredible? In terms of ancient literature, that's unprecedented. The University of Munster, and this is for the nerds, right? The University of Munster, I don't know why I put that up there on the screen, but I was just getting excited because I really do love this stuff. That's from their website. It's the search list that I... Anyway, they have a free online virtual manuscript room. And you can actually go onto this. If you Google Munster Virtual Manuscript Room, it's free. You can see all the ancient manuscripts that have ever been dug up. They've got photos of them on there and they put them together. They're the repository for them. We've got around 30 manuscripts of Luke's Gospel that date to within 500 years of Jesus' life. 30. We've got around 160 manuscripts of other Gospels that date to within 500 years of Jesus' life. We've got 80 manuscripts of Paul's letters that date to within that period. Get this, 30 of the bits of the Gospel that we have can be dated to within 300 years of Jesus' life. Now, the reason I'm so excited about this is because this just doesn't happen in ancient history. When you ask the question, is Jesus real? If anything is real in ancient history, it's Jesus. The manuscript evidence is astounding. Luke was not exaggerating when he said, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things Jesus said and did, because Jesus is the most attested to figure in ancient history, and secular historians would agree with that statement. That's not just me speaking to you as a Christian. What Luke says is legit. The next thing he tells us is his account has been, that's most of the history stuff, by the way, so we're through that. The next thing he tells us is his account has been carefully investigated and ordered. This is important, see from verse 3. He says, with this in mind, with the number of accounts going around, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. So he's gone, there's lots of stuff going around about Jesus. I just want to say that I've investigated and I've put together my own account. Luke is not a naive fool, right? He's a doctor. Doctors... I just don't want to give anybody in the room a big head, but doctors can be smart, right? Speak to Evie afterwards, you know? It's not like Luke's not just saying here, oh, Theophilus, man, I was down at the Eddy on Friday night, and after a few schooners, we had a pretty deep conversation, and old mate started telling me this stuff, and I just thought, I've got to write this down. That's not what he's saying, right? He's carefully investigated these events, everything in Jesus' life, and he's so convinced that he's put together an orderly account for his friend. Obviously, there are all kinds of things floating around about Jesus. We haven't actually dug up any of the alternative stories of Jesus from the first century. You know, there are these things, there are these other gospels about Jesus that have been dug up, that the Da Vinci Code engaged with and that sort of stuff. But most of them were written like around 200 or 300. But Luke says, there's lots of stuff going around. I've carefully investigated it and I've put it together in a way that I think conveys the truth in an orderly manner. This is pretty much how each of the accounts of the Bible is put together. The authors have ordered the different words and actions of Jesus in a way they think best conveys the truth that they've been so astounded by. We learnt, looking at John's account of Jesus' life this year, that some of Jesus' earliest followers doubted. Do you remember the star of doubt, Doubting Thomas, from John's Gospel? He would not believe that Jesus was risen from the grave until he saw the wounds and put his hand in them. Well, Luke says, I've done my own investigation as well, because this is weird stuff. So I wanted to check it out. And now I've put it together to help you know the truth as well. It's important to investigate the truth. Even if you've been a Christian for a long time, you need to know the history behind this stuff. We don't want to be naive. We ought to defend ourselves against people who attack Christianity, but the biggest enemy of our faith is our own doubt. So we have to look into it ourselves to make sure that we know this is real. You know, for a long time, Julius Caesar, his autobiographical accounts of his battles in Europe have been taken as history. Guys like Napoleon, who was like a famous military leader from the last millennia, they were inspired by him. Lots of people have read Julius Caesar's stuff and have been inspired by him. You know, upon fairly recent and careful investigation, most scholars are now, they're dismissive of the stuff that Julius Caesar wrote. He's no longer in the minds of most historians this great leader of a free people, but he's a narcissistic warmonger who exaggerated all the things that he wrote about his victories in battle. How crazy, right? They're not even sure if some of the battles that he wrote about were actually real, or the victories were as comprehensive as he said. He made himself out to be a historian, but under careful investigation, his account's been brought into question. The account of Jesus' life, it was scrutinized while he was still alive. One of the things I love about the accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible is they don't hide the fact that people who walked with him actually didn't believe him. By the time you get to the end of each of the Gospels, more people don't believe what Jesus has said than do. It's actually stunning that they would have put that in there. If I was doing it, I would have said, and everybody loved this. But they don't do that. And then for 2,000 years, people have been investing in trying to disprove the stuff the Bible says. Crazy amounts of money. In October, this article came up on, I think it's news.com. A bloke from the States has used X-ray vision to look inside one of the pyramids in Egypt, and he thinks that under the pyramid, he's found the body of Jesus. And I'm like, what a waste of time, right? But he's not the first one to do that. He sought, with his millions of dollars, to disprove the account of the resurrection. But people have been doing that for 2,000 years. There's a great book by a lawyer who sought to disprove Christianity. He made it his life's work, but he became a Christian in the process. The guy's name's Lee Strobel. If you want to read The Case for Christ, it's a great book. Friends, atheist organisations have formed to disprove Christ. I love reading books by atheists. You've got to do it with a discerning mind. We don't want to speak from a position of ignorance. We want to speak from a position of knowledge. So we always have to read everything, right? But I read The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. It's quite an old book now. But I was shocked to see that he would see alien life form to be more plausible than the existence of Jesus Christ. I'm like, there's no basis for that. It's just a decision to be ignorant. And this is a guy who now, in the last couple of years, has come out and said, actually, I've changed my mind. I think Christianity is good for society. All people who've sought to disprove and disconnect Jesus from history have done is confirm that he is real. Luke tells us he carefully investigated this. He's not saying that just to kind of waste words. He actually looked into the stuff that he saw and that he heard, and he found it to be true. And he's written his account. He's written his account of Jesus' life. He says in verse 4, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Really three things Luke's saying in this section before he starts to tell you about the things Jesus said and did. Lots of people have written about this. I've looked into it. You can be certain it's true. I love that. You know, nobody cares if Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar were real or not. Maybe you do a little bit. I don't know. At the end of the day, if they're just a myth, it has no real impact on my life. If the things written in their surviving manuscripts have been fudged, if Julius Caesar wasn't a great leader but a narcissistic, warmongering propagandist, I'm sorry, Napoleon, you were deceived, you know. You're still famous, who cares? Or Shakespeare, right? Did you know we have no evidence of the existence or birthplace of Shakespeare? We have nothing from the first 18 years of his life. We have no documents written by Shakespeare, no primary evidence, until 10 years after he died. How do we know that he wrote that stuff? How do we know that there wasn't one of his followers who manipulated it? Who cares, right? What I love is there's this really famous picture of Shakespeare up on the right. It's a portrait from around early 1600s. And that's who we think Shakespeare is. But even the most ardent historian is like, we're actually not sure this is Shakespeare. But that's the image we've been given. And because it doesn't matter, we just take it to be true. There are so many things like that from history. But if after sitting through many accounts of Jesus' life that have been carefully investigated, we can be certain that he's real and the things that he said and did are real, then that has consequences for our life. It's different. It actually matters whether or not you believe this stuff. Because Jesus said some incredibly audacious things. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus claimed that even though we spend a lot of our life investigating him and looking into the things he said and did, there'll be a day when he'll investigate us. And he'll look into everything that we've said and done, and we'll be held to account for our actions. And the only way to avoid the judgment of God on that day will be because of what he's done. Because he paid for our actions and our words on the cross. And because he rose from the grave to defeat death. That's consequence, right? If we believe what Jesus said and done, he claims we've crossed over from death to life. That's a consequence. That's an eternal consequence. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in Shakespeare. I do. I believe in Julius Caesar and also Alexander the Great. You can talk to Dave about that afterwards if you've got questions about that. He's a historian. But it doesn't matter if I do or not. But if I believe in Jesus or not, it has eternal consequences. It actually makes the difference between me standing before God with my own sin in my hands or standing before God washed clean by the blood of Christ. If you are certain that Jesus is real, it changes everything. I'll just finish up with a very brief commentary on this survey. So more than half of people don't know if Jesus was real, right? The majority of those people, the majority just don't know. But do you know what I think that means? I think it means they don't want to know. Because you don't want to think about this too much. It's much easier to go, I don't know if this is real. What does it matter? Than to actually look into it and be confronted by the plausibility of it. Because if you look into the claims that Jesus makes and the history of the Bible, it's actually very unsettling. It's very uncomfortable. He's not just another myth. He's actually real, and whether or not we believe in him has consequences for all eternity. Don't be satisfied to say, I don't know. Read Luke's gospel this year. You got the first four verses this morning. There are lots more after that. Make it a resolution. Read through it. Question it. Be cynical. It'll defend itself and it could change your eternity. There actually are gift Bibles out in the foyer. If you want to pinch one on the way out, you won't be stealing them. I'm saying you can take them. But this is, it's life-changing. Well, I'm going to pray now that we'd all believe that and we'd know the forgiveness and the life that Jesus offers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for revealing your Son to us. We thank you that you've miraculously preserved these manuscripts through history. Father, we thank you that we have all the evidence we need. We just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to believe and to receive with joy the forgiveness you offer us, no matter who we are or what we've done, and to receive with joy that life that continues even beyond the grave. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.